Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, Ohio State University is leading a statewide collaborative to study the impact of stress and the state of mental health among farmers in an effort to bring more resources to those who need but aren't getting them. Also this morning, is it really time to start shopping for back to school already? We have tips on updating your wardrobe with the latest fashions to have you looking good from day one. And it's another collection of simple and delicious recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, July 12th, 2024. The Lucas County Fair has been going on this week, continues through Sunday. Have you been following this? Apparently, there is a big to-do over the rides, the midway at the Lucas County Fair, or the lack of rides on the midway at the Lucas County Fair, more specifically. Number of fairgoers have been left wondering, where are the rides? Apparently, and this is according to fair officials, they contracted with a company called Big Top's Magic Midways to bring and set up a dozen rides at the fair. But when the vendor showed up, they had two. Two. Supposed to have 12, they had two. The owner of Big Top's Magic Midways says that he was unable to bring the other rides because they did not pass state inspection, which is a little worrisome just in and of itself. But he pointed to the strict laws in the state of Ohio regarding carnival rides that were passed a few years ago after the tragic incident in which the young man was killed at the Ohio State Fair on a defective ride. And so instead of notifying anyone about the lack of rides that purportedly passed state inspection, he just showed up with the two that he did have. That's it. They've got two. So the fair has tried to, you know, soften the blow of the lack of rides by bringing in additional inflatables, and they have now made the inflatables and the two rides that they do have a part of the regular admission. So they're not making people pay extra to ride the rides, now included as part of the admission price. The Lucas County Fair runs through Sunday, but this is a big to-do up in Toledo, the Lucas County Fair. And I did a little digging. Big Top's Magic Midways, this company, it's a new company, just launched this year. And so I would imagine the guy who owns it has been involved in the carnival and fair business for a number of years, but this is a new company that he just launched this year. And you hate to come down on somebody, you know, just starting out in a new business, because it's tough to start a new business. And I would imagine that this is a business that is particularly difficult to break into. But it is based in Columbus, so it's not like he didn't know what the laws were, how stringent the laws were, before contracting for all of these rides. And just sounds like maybe he bit off more than he could chew with this new venture, and it's not quite ready for prime time. What's interesting about this is this same company is also contracted to provide rides, from what I understand, for the Erie County Fair in Sandusky here in a couple of weeks, the beginning of August. So it will be very interesting to see if he is able to provide any more rides for the Erie County Fair here in a couple of weeks when that happens. So folks will be paying attention. Really wild story. By the way, speaking of fairs, this year's Minnesota State Fair is making headlines for its interesting new food choices. They get into fair season, and that's one of the narratives every year. All of the crazy foods that we have. Among the food offerings are cookie butter crunch mini donuts, cotton candy iced tea, and deep fried ranch dressing. There always has to be something new that we are deep frying. And this year, at least at the Minnesota State Fair, it is deep fried ranch dressing. It is described as ranch dressing filling made with ranch seasoning, buttermilk, and cream cheese in a panko shell, deep fried and dusted with ranch powder. The fair is set to kick off in St. Paul August 22nd, which is after the Ohio State Fair. So we'll look forward to seeing whether we have deep fried ranch dressing at this year's Ohio State Fair. I can't wait. I love those crazy fair foods. Deep fried ranch dressing. Hey, it's no crazier than, you know, like deep fried butter or the deep fried Coca-Cola that they had. And I think it was the Texas State Fair debuted that a few years ago. Deep fried Coca-Cola. I don't know, but that's... speaking of foods, crazy foods, apparently scandal at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest over the 4th of July holiday. One of the contestants at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest has been accused of cheating after the fact, after the chowdown. Fourth place winner Nick Weary has been accused of moving empty plates around to make it look like he ate more dogs than he actually did. Now, contest officials are quick to point out that he would have scored fourth place either way, but the extra plate of dogs would have put him at 51 and three-quarter hot dogs consumed instead of 46 and three-quarter hot dogs. There is, even though it's fourth place, there is, I guess, that 50 dog milestone is quite the point of pride for competitive eating. If you can get to at least 50 in 10 minutes, that is a coveted mark. And so it wasn't about winning. It was about, you know, getting that. So the story says, to avoid further scandal, Mr. Weary insists he did not cheat, but will accept a revised score because he said, I did touch another eater's plates, and because this gives the appearance or the possibility of impropriety, I have asked Major League Eating to adjust my score down. So he's still in fourth place, but now is... revised total, I guess, is under that 50 dog in 10 minute mark that is so prized by competitive eaters. Taking the high road, I guess. Man, tell you what, Joey Chestnut probably happy that he wasn't involved. Is he again not involved in the scandal there? Why? Cheating at the hot dog eating contest. Okay. Another food story. We just got all kinds of food stories here. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Yesterday, you know, was a Slurpee Day at 7-Eleven and Speedway stores around the country. Did you get your free Slurpee on 7-Eleven Day? Well, today, not to be outdone, is National French Fry Day. July 12th, National French Fry Day. So... if someone asks, do you want fries with that? Take the fries. It is French Fry Day today. As every fry lover knows, however, takeout orders of the Golden Treats can get soggy pretty quickly. The best way to get perfect fries home, to get your fries home, don't close the takeout bag. I know that sounds rather counterintuitive because... I always, you know, close up the bag real tight to try and keep it warm, keep the heat escaping, right? But they say, don't do that. Closed containers result in condensation and sogginess of your fries. Uh-huh. I guess that makes sense when you really think about it. They also say the type of container that the fries are in matters as well. Styrofoam and plastic will trap heat and lead to more condensation. An open paper bag is the better way to go. Once you get them home, Then reheat the fries in an air fryer or a toaster oven with a convection setting for about 5 minutes at 400 degrees. So that's how to keep your fries at the perfect consistency, keeping them from getting soggy when you get them home, when you get your fries takeout. Wow. Now that is important news. That is a big story. You're welcome, America. A couple of other items among the first things you need to know this morning. A new study from the American Cancer Society finds that almost half of all cancer deaths are linked to six habits that are entirely preventable. 44% of cancer deaths correlate with smoking cigarettes, being overweight, drinking alcohol, inactivity, poor diet, and excessive sun exposure. That is interesting, and it is important to note, and the reason they are highlighting this, the American Cancer Society, is that all of those things are things that we have within our control, and we can do something about. But I would have to file that under the least surprising news of the day. Least surprising news of the day, that almost half of cancer deaths are correlated to those things. Because we've been told this for years. I'm not sure that this is new news, but it is out there on the newswire. And this I thought was kind of interesting, a very interesting statistic. We are in the throes of the dog days of summer, or they are approaching anyway, the dog days of summer, hottest weeks of the year, and we'll be running our air conditioner. It's been a very hot summer. And of course, before too many weeks, we're going to be, you know, turning the heat back on. The most expensive state in the country for energy bills. What state would you think that it is? And by the way, this is a Wallet Hub analysis. It takes into account electricity, natural gas, home heating oil prices, and motor fuel. So they're adding gasoline into the mix here because that's energy as well. And obviously we buy that all year long. But the most expensive energy state is Wyoming, where they spend an average of $1,591 per month on energy. And again, that's all energy from electricity, gas, motor fuel, natural gas, gasoline, home heating, you know, all of that. $1,591 a month in Wyoming. North Dakota, the second highest at $840 per month. Conversely, energy is cheapest in New Mexico, where the average citizen can expect to pay $376 a month. Big difference, just $376. Now, mind you, they don't have to really, most places in New Mexico don't have to heat in the wintertime. There are some areas, but overall, not a whole lot of heating going on in the wintertime. Other relatively cheap states include Arizona, Texas, California, and Kansas. Ohio, pretty much in the middle, which is where we usually are in rankings of this type, at $630 a month. $630 a month we spend on energy in the Buckeye State, according to this analysis from Wallet Hub. How does that compare to your bills, your monthly expenses? Kind of interesting there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly sunny today, a high in the mid-80s, partly cloudy tonight, a low in the upper 60s. The Findlay-Hancock County Alliance Board of Directors has announced that current Economic Development Director Dan Schaefer will serve as the organization's next president and CEO. Schaefer will follow Don Bruce, who will be retiring at the end of this month. Chairman of the board, Tony Price, says, "We're excited to have Dan take on this leadership role. His 11 years of experience working with the Alliance has provided him with a deep understanding of the organization's mission and values. Schaefer will continue to lead the economic development team during the transition period while a search takes place to identify his successor. The Findlay-Hancock County Alliance is a partnership bringing growth and prosperity to the Findlay-Hancock County region. Get more in the story on our website." Several Ohioans are in Texas helping out after Hurricane Beryl made landfall earlier this week, killing several people and leaving thousands without power.
Volunteers from Northwest Ohio have been stationed across Texas, helping with the relief effort. I spoke with a Toledo volunteer who is currently at the Red Cross disaster headquarters in San Antonio.
There are different groups going out doing damage assessment, figuring out where the power outages are.
The Red Cross says they are looking for more volunteers to step up and help out.
WTOL 11's Maya May reporting. This fall, NAMI Hancock County, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, will be hosting a suicide prevention vigil at their office in Findlay. As part of the event, NAMI will recognize a Hancock County CIT-trained officer who has shown exemplary service in de-escalating a crisis situation with their CIT Officer of the Year award. For those not familiar, Crisis Intervention Team Training, CIT, is a community partnership that trains officers in de-escalation techniques when responding to mental health crises. There's a link with the story on our website where you can nominate an officer from Findlay Hancock County for the CIT Officer of the Year award. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Now our cover story this morning. The Ohio State University is inviting farmers in Ohio to participate in an anonymous survey asking about their stress and their mental health. It is a questionnaire that was developed in conjunction with the Ohio Department of Agriculture, the Ohio Farm Bureau, and others in an effort to pinpoint the sources of stress for those who work in the agriculture industry and determine whether they have access to the resources that they need to help deal with those issues. Joining us this morning is Jennifer Little from the Ohio State University Hancock County Extension Office, who is kind of running point on getting the word out there locally and encouraging farmers to participate in this survey. Jennifer, what kind of reception has there been when you are out there encouraging farmers to participate? Because I would think that this, farmers, knowing what I know about farmers, they're very, very proud, very self-sufficient group by and large. I'm wondering what the reception has been when you ask them to open up about these issues.
Well, in general, it's kind of hard to get out the word out this time of year. It's a very busy time for farmers and families. That's why we're hoping to make sure that organizations like the Farm Bureau, who are actually a part of the alliance that helped, that are the driving force behind this. There's a newly created alliance as of this spring to focus on the mental health and agriculture to ensure that Ohio's farmers and our families and the communities that serve them are equipped to deal with the stress and the unique challenges of being a farmer and working in the agricultural industry. Dr. Dee Jepson, she is the Ohio State Extension Safety and Health Lead, and she's also a professor. She's been with Ohio State for over 30 years. She's a person that's been she's the lead researcher in getting this survey out, creating this survey, and evaluating the results. And this new alliance, it's referred to as the Ohio Agricultural Mental Health Alliance, and it includes Extension, of course, the Ohio Department of Health, the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services, Adamus Board, as they're known locally, and Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, and the Farm Credit of Mid-America. They're all the groups that kind of serve farm families and are very involved in that mental health and physical health of Ohioans.
I'm wondering... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm wondering if, to a certain extent, the pandemic kind of helped in a way because, remember, while we were all kind of locked down in COVID and dealing with, that upending all of our lives, we suddenly became more cognizant of and more willing to talk about mental health issues in general. And I'm sure that kind of helped remove some of the stigma for talking about what has been a longstanding issue in the agriculture and rural communities.
Oh, yes. As and yeah, 2021, there was a survey done of farmers and farm workers, and 61% of them, you know, good majority of them had reported increased mental health challenges. And that's, again, early in that, soon after the pandemic.
Yeah.
And as of 2023, you know, I've, since joining Ohio State Extension a couple of years ago, I have, you know, and being a part of this Hancock County community, I've had firsthand, you know, knowledge of people that have lost farmers to mental health challenges and suicide. And in fact, yeah, as of 2023, those within the farming community are 3.5 times at a higher risk of suicide than the general population. So it's definitely an issue. And again, it's been one of those things that's been hush hush and not talked about a whole lot. We, you know, talking about our feelings is not easy for a lot of us. And
right,
specifically, again, this community where we pride ourselves in being self-sufficient and taking
exactly
care of ourselves and taking care of others.
Exactly. And for those, you know, outside the industry, or even for those in agriculture who may not realize the full extent of this, let's talk a little bit about some of those unique challenges. Obviously, like we said, this has been a longstanding issue that has sort of been bubbling under the surface that we're only now just kind of really talking about out in the open. This is an incredibly stressful profession.
Yeah, lots of times, you know, we think being in a rural community makes us immune to stress or other mental health challenges because we don't have the hectic, you know, pace maybe of living in a big city or dealing with the traffic or any of those things. But, you know, farmers are very unique. They don't, they live at their work. And their work partners are often also close family members who rely on them for many things.
Mm-hmm.
And farmers, as we know, are, you know, they're the producers. They, you know, we are an agricultural state. Agriculture is the biggest, you know, one of the biggest industries in the state of Ohio. So there is a lot of their, you know, their life that is in their work.
And
most of us can leave at the end of the day, and
right,
you know, farmer can't
do that. And there's so much in the profession that is outside of an individual's control, from the weather to commodity prices to, you know, all of these things that a farmer depends on that they really have no direct control over.
Right. Even with advances in technology and many of the, you know, scientific advancements that we've had in the area of agriculture, you know, they cannot still control the weather. We wish we could flip a switch and make rain, or flip a switch and make the rain stop. You know, we think, go back to 2019 when so many of the crops didn't get planted because I had such a wet spring.
Yeah.
But I wanted to clarify too, Chris, that the survey is not only just for farmers specifically, it's those who are involved in the agriculture industry at all, those who deal with farming and farm families. That's why people like the that in any industry, you know, we have Legacy, we have other organizations that serve farmers or deal with that agricultural community. And the survey is it's online. It's just a 31 question survey. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. It's going to be open through the majority of the summer. So I do know it's going to be open for several more weeks. And it's called, the title is the Farm Stress Survey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone through the appropriate. It's one of those, again, all anonymous. It's totally there's no links with, you know, with who you are, with any of the answers that you give. It's just, and the point of the survey is to gather information. Those of us who help serve and meet the needs of farm communities certainly want to make sure that we're on point. We're looking at, you know, what resources we can provide, information we can provide, services we can provide. So not only us, but places like the Ohio Department of Health, places like the Adamus Board and the Farm Bureau. We're all in this together, wanting to make sure that meeting the needs of our communities.
And yeah, that was the other question that I was going to ask. At the end of the day, when all of this data is collected and analyzed, then what is the hope in terms of the end result of what comes out of this? Because I know one of the other challenges, and it kind of emphasizes all of the stresses and mental health issues in rural communities, is that they are often areas where access to programs that can help are not widely available. Now, here we are certainly blessed in Hancock County that we do have a solid mental health infrastructure and a lot of resources that are available. And I don't know that, you know, anyone in, for example, Mount Corey would think a trip into Findlay would be, out of the way, but not every county in Ohio either has the resources available or has them relatively easily accessible in rural areas. Is that really the hope of what comes out of this?
Right. And we're and also identifying challenges maybe that we weren't aware of. Things like childcare, which has been a challenge for many people after the pandemic. It's one of those things that, again, when you are a farm family and you have mom and dad both working as a part of the farm, you know, what happens to the kids in the summertime and those kinds of challenges. So, yeah, there are, and we have neighboring counties surrounding us that are, you know, considerably more rural that may not have the services that we have.
Yeah.
But also, are there things, educational components, awareness, are there ways that we can serve our families and individuals and, you know, making things more accessible or making things more understandable or providing services in a way that is easier for them to take part in?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I don't mean to cut you off. We're actually running short on time. We do have a link on our webpage to the survey. So if you go to goodmornings.net, you'll find it there. And again, Jennifer Little is with the Ohio State University Extension of Hancock County talking about this very important survey on stress and mental health in rural and farming communities. Jennifer, thanks very much for kind of shedding some light and putting the word out there. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Chris. You have a good day.
Well, it may seem like summer is just getting started, and already we're starting to think about back to school. We'll be doing our Stuff the Bus campaign, school supplies later this month. And joining us this morning is Kate Bellman from Nordstrom with some back to school shopping tips and budget friendly ways to freshen up your wardrobe. Kate, let's start there. What are some budget friendly ways to revamp our wardrobe?
All right. Great question. I have three top tips for you.
Okay.
First of all, look for those deals. Super important when shopping on a budget. Fortunately, we're right in the midst heading into our anniversary sale event. That means we bring in brand new product at a limited time savings. It runs from July 15th through August 4th, and then those prices go up August 5th. So shop early and find those deals.
Okay.
My second tip is to invest in the essentials. So look for those pieces that surpass trends. You want to buy them now, love them forever. They are really the foundational pieces of your wardrobe. And then lastly, look for those items that you can repurpose and restyle. So versatility is key. Look for the pieces that you can style different ways, wear to different events, and really get your bang for your buck.
And when you're talking about that, and in particular on that last tip, that could be new stuff that you pick up or even maybe some things that you already have that you can find new uses for.
Absolutely. It's a great time to, you know, shop your closet, see what you already have, and make great use of it. And then if you need to infuse something new, buy it on the sale event and you'll get a great deal.
I love that term, shopping in your own closet. Shopping your own closet.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of the trends. I mean, obviously, again, sending the kids back to school, they want to be on trend. What are some of the inspirations, the trends heading into the new school year?
Absolutely. So I'll start with women. Tailoring is still essential. So think that updated suit or the classic coat. I love it in a menswear plaid for this season. Talking about prints and patterns, stripes. We are seeing them everywhere. It's a great print. It's really timeless. Love it in a collared polo sweater. It kind of brings this preppy punch. And then the must-have shoe for the season for women is the modern flat. So whether it's a Mary Jane or a ballet flat, really seeing flats emerge as the shoe of the season.
Okay.
And then women can tie it all back with their accessories, from neutral handbags to some bold gold jewelry. Now for the men, tailoring, super important for them too. This is a great time for them to invest in a new suit. I think it's been a while since men have had a reason to buy a new suit. We have some fantastic options on the anniversary sale event. Or if suits don't work into their lifestyle, some refined separates. We are seeing men starting to dress up a little more. So whether it's a chore coat, or double duty denim, great items for the men. Of course, we always have sneakers, and we have some fabulous finds on the sale event, from New Balance to Adidas. Now, you mentioned kids. I cannot believe it. I feel like I just heard the bell ring for their last day, and now we're already talking
right.
back to school.
Right.
Here we are. So great ways to get the kids ready for the classroom in graphic tees, novelty outerwear. And I don't know about your listeners, but I feel like my kids just outgrow things overnight. So I'd love to use the sale event to stock up on denim and sneakers and things that I just have ready to go when they inevitably grow out of what they already have.
You know, that is not a bad idea. Again, since you've got the deals coming up, and we mentioned the biggest shopping event of the year starting on Monday, maybe think ahead to the stuff that you're going to need maybe 3 or 4 months down the road, winter or even spring, and get that stuff now while you can, because you know
so true.
They're going to grow.
Totally. It's the perfect time. I mean, not only for kids, but honestly for yourself too. I know it seems a little crazy to be buying coats and boots and sweaters when it's 90 plus degrees out, but trust me, you'll be so happy you did come October when those temperatures drop and you open your coat closet and there is a sparkling new coat for you ready to go.
See, now you're talking my game. I mean, I'm one of those people that goes out and buys all of the Christmas necessities the day after Christmas for the next year. So you're talking my language right here when you're
there
talking about.
There you go. That's kind of like that. Just buying in July. You know, we have plenty of home items and giftable items and throws to candles. So don't wait. Just buy it now and then you'll have it for this holiday season.
Now, again, let's mention biggest shopping event of the year for you folks at Nordstrom begins Monday. You can score some, as it says here, A-plus deals on back to school for all ages.
Absolutely. So all new product on sale from July 15th to August 4th. Every person in the family, every category we offer, our best of brands, you name it, it's probably on the sale event to some extent. We hope our customers
right.
enjoy what we are offering.
There you go. Kate Bellman from Nordstrom with us. Where do we get more information? What's the website, Kate?
Absolutely. Nordstrom.com/anniversary. All the best products, all the days, all the events and services right there. One-stop destination.
We will get the link up on our webpage as well. Kate Bellman, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Sometimes you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. A Toledo woman is facing charges after an incident in which police say she was driving a vehicle with her boyfriend on the hood. According to the report, 19-year-old Omni Jordan Griffin and her boyfriend were involved in some sort of dispute. On Tuesday evening, this is near Cherry and Bancroft Streets in Toledo, as she prepared to drive away, because isn't that what they say? When you have an argument, you just walk away, or in this case, drive away. But that doesn't always work, because sometimes the person that you're arguing with just won't let it be. And that appears to be the case in this case. As Omni prepared to drive away, her boyfriend jumped on the hood of her car, but she drove away anyway. Must have been quite a sight. Police were able to stop the vehicle before anyone was injured. Ms. Jordan Griffin has been charged with inducing panic. I don't know. I think that's a bit unfair. I mean, she was trying to separate herself from the situation. She was trying to do the right thing. It was the boyfriend that jumped on the top of the car. I mean, if anything, he's the one that was inducing panic, but she's been charged because she was driving. So, lot to sort out there in that story. Elsewhere in the broken news, we call it the broken news because, you know, sometimes you have breaking news and then you have the news that is already broken. Perfect example of that in this story. The Delaware County Board of Developmental Disabilities in Lewis Center, Ohio, Delaware County, Ohio, Board of Developmental Disabilities, apparently they are closed. Well, their building is closed because of a bat infestation. You heard right, a bat infestation at the Delaware County Board of Developmental Disabilities building in Lewis Center. Officials say a colony of around 100 big brown bats were found inside the building. Not surprisingly, no one wanted to be there. You got bats in your belfry, as they say. In this case, bats in the building. 100 big brown bats found inside the building. But here's the kicker, and this is what makes this a crazy story. Because the bats are a protected species, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources does not allow for the bats to be removed from any area in which they are found between May 16th and July 31st, which I'm guessing is, what, their mating season or something? They're not allowed. By environmental rules, state environmental rules, they are not allowed to be moved until July 31st, which means that the building will remain closed at least through the end of the month. Probably longer, because then once they get to the 1st of August, then you'll have to take the time to actually catch them and move them and, you know, relocate them and all of that, clean the building, disinfect it, and all of that. So employees have been moved to the Delaware County Commissioner's Office for the time being. So, how crazy is that? They got a bat infestation that they can't do anything about. The big brown bats have the run of the place. And it says 100 right now, but if it's mating season, how many are there going to be when they do go to move them? I don't know. Elsewhere in the broken news, a Florida mother had to be a story from Florida in the broken news. A Florida mother is accused of inciting a riot outside of a skating rink a couple of months ago. Inciting a riot outside of a skating rink. Stephanie Pedroso is accused of posting on social media to encourage people to gather outside the Astro Skate in Brandon, Florida, back in May. The local sheriff says the 36-year-old was willing to pay people to cause damage to the business because her daughter's birthday party at the rink was canceled due to a lack of security. So she was going to pay people to vandalize the building. I can't imagine why they would have canceled her daughter's birthday because of a lack of security. What would have made them think that they needed extra security for this woman and her daughter? I have no idea. Apparently, hundreds of people showed up, causing fights and at least $500 worth of damage. So not a whole lot of damage. At least 26 people were arrested on the night of the incident, and now she faces charges of inciting a riot outside of a skating rink. What do you think? What do you think those conversations are in the slammer? What are you in for? I incited a riot outside of a skating rink. Don't mess with me. from the international file, the broken news, a woman running for office in Tokyo shocked viewers when she took her blouse off during a television interview. Uchino Ari revealed a nude tube top. So it wasn't totally nude. She had a nude-colored tube top underneath her shirt and asked viewers if they thought she was sexy. Why aren't politics in this country like that? I mean, our politics are messed up, but nothing to this level. At least not that I'm aware of. She also invited viewers to add her on a messaging app called Line. Clips of the video have gone viral, not surprisingly, with over 20 million views. Ms. Uchino is associated with the NHK party and intends to appoint Takashi Tachibana as deputy governor. So I don't know if that's germane to the story or not, but we don't have anything like that in this country. I mean, our politics are messed up, but that's messed up right there. And finally, in the broken news this morning, a written to-do list is always handy to have with you. I think we've all done that, right? We made a to-do list of all the things we need to do today just to make sure that we don't miss anything. So it's always a handy idea. Unless, of course, your daily routine includes some sort of illegal activity. A man in Oakland, California was arrested for driving a stolen vehicle, which, of course, made him subject to being searched. And police found the man to be in possession of several stolen credit cards, a fraudulent check, a stolen driver's license, which only makes sense. If you're going to steal a stolen car, I mean, if you're going to drive a stolen car, you should have a stolen driver's license. That's almost a prerequisite, isn't it? Anyway, that's not all. He had keys to someone's mailbox, you know, the post office box. And they also found a to-do list in his pocket. Among the items on the unidentified man's list, according to the Hercules, California Police Department, number one, laundry. Number two, talk to the kids. Number three, get some money. And number four, boost. Which, of course, is slang for stealing or shoplifting. And that was actually on his list, but only at number four. I mean, he did prioritize talking to the kids, so talking to his kids. So he's he is an upstanding citizen. You know, he's a good parent, if nothing else, I suppose. That's the arresting officer for the Hercules Police Department said, I guess he's keeping up with his goals, sort of. So he did boost the car and all the other stuff they found him with, so. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
We tell the stories of our men and women in the military and first responders each Sunday morning on WFIN. Hi, this is Ben Bueller Garcia, your host for American Warrior Radio. Our mission is to educate and inform the public not only about those who serve, but those who support them. We also share issues of importance to veterans and their families. Join us for American Warrior Radio, Sunday mornings at 6 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. What is the perfect summer? What would be the perfect summer? According to a new survey of 2,000 Americans, the ideal summer would include 11 dips in the water and 14 days with loved ones. 43% of respondents to this survey expect summer to include barbecues. 49% say an injury can ruin the entire season. So you don't want to hurt yourself while you're doing all of these things. 54% say that they are more adventurous during the summer. Some respondents saying that they want to try going out on a boat, traveling to a new state, and explore new beaches as goals for the season. Too much heat during the dog days of summer is actually the top way to ruin the season. 63% say too much heat. 60, we love the heat, but too much of it is not a good thing. Being sick puts a real downer on the summer, 61%. And then, as we mentioned, 49% say getting injured is the number three of the top three ways to break the season. On the flip side, summer can be made fantastic by spending time with loved ones, 65% say spending time with loved ones, getting away from home, 55%, and 49% say simply being near the water is the way to, you know, make your summer great. Interestingly, 39% of respondents tend to prefer to be on the water than in it. We'd rather go boating than swimming. 39% of respondents, which I thought was kind of interesting. Maybe that has to do with the number of shark bite stories that have been been in the news of late. We'd rather be in the boat than in the water. Americans take their summer very seriously, according to Michael Farb, who is CEO of Boatsetter, which is a watercraft rental company. Americans take their summer very seriously. Between sun-soaked days, various water activities, and barbecues, this summer season is sure to be one to remember. So, the ideal summer season, according to the survey. Now you know. And how many of those things have you done? How many of those things have you yet to do before the summer is up? Because, you know, we've often said you get past the 4th of July and it seems like the rest of the summer just flies by. Kids start getting involved in things, getting ready for back to school and all of that. So time is running short already to get all of those important things in during the summer weeks and months. So this is a really interesting story that I saw on the Newswire this morning. Back during the Depression, money was tight. Nobody had any money. You couldn't go out and even buy food in some cases, right?
Yes.
So you had to kind of make do with what you had.
Right.
And these days, I mean, obviously it's not a depression, but times are tight. Money's tight and, you know, groceries cost more. Everything costs more.
Yep.
And so some social media influencers are apparently rediscovering some of the cheap desserts and treats that were popular during the Depression era.
Okay. Okay.
Water pie is one of them. Would you serve water pie?
Water pie.
Water pie. It requires no milk, no eggs. Which, of course, items that were very expensive back in the 1930s. All you need to bake your own water pie is a crust, water, flour, sugar, vanilla extract, and butter.
Okay. So
you pour the water into the crust, along with the flour, the sugar, the vanilla extract, and the butter, and then this liquidy concoction goes into the oven.
Okay.
Due to the melted sugar and the fat from the butter, the pie comes out sliceable.
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
And then some modern-day chefs will spruce up their water pies with citrus or coconut or cinnamon.
Okay.
To give it a little extra added flavor. So, water pie. Some of the other Depression-era desserts that seem to be making a comeback include vinegar pie, which I would imagine is fairly similar. I don't know. Wacky cake. I don't know what that is. And tomato soup cake.
Okay.
So, some of the other ones. But if you're interested, you can look up those recipes. Okay. I just thought I would share because it is interesting stuff. My wife, Kyra, has joined us in the studio this morning for another collection of easy yet delicious recipes from Kyra's Kitchen, not including water pie.
No.
We do have zucchini brownies, which is a little unusual. That's later, but we want to start.
No, and no eggs in that.
No eggs in that. So I don't know, maybe that was a Depression era thing too. Maybe it would have been very popular during the 1930s. Maybe your grandmother made zucchini brownies. I don't know. So we've got that coming up. First, we'll start with a burrito bake this morning.
So with the burrito bake, it's 1 pound of ground beef, 1 can of 16-ounce refried beans, 1/4 cup of chopped onion, 1 envelope of taco seasoning, 1 tube, 8 ounce of your refrigerated crescent dough sheet. If you have the just the regular crescents, that's fine. You just need to make sure you don't tear it apart. And you
just one flat sheet.
One flat sheet. Mm-hmm. 2 cups of shredded cheddar cheese, and optional, some chopped green peppers, shredded lettuce, salsa, and sour cream.
Anything that you would want on your burrito.
Right. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees in a large skillet. Cook and crumble beef over medium heat until no longer pink. Drain. Add your onions and your taco seasoning. Unroll your crescent dough sheet. Press onto the bottom and up the sides of a greased 9x13 baking dish. Bake that for about 10 minutes. Then take that out of the oven. Spread your refried beans on top of the baked crescent dough. And then top with your beef mixture. Sprinkle with cheese. Bake it uncovered for about 20 minutes. Let it cool just for a few minutes, cut into squares, and serve with your optional toppings if desired.
Really good stuff.
Yes.
Really, really good stuff.
Yeah, we had that this week.
We did, and I had it. I had the leftovers for lunch a couple of days later, and they were really
still
good,
too. Still pretty
good.
Yeah. Good.
That's another one that's a keeper of the leftovers.
Good.
You know, some dessert or some dishes are... Mm. Not necessarily good second time around.
Yeah.
This is not one of those. It is definitely a keeper for the leftovers. Don't throw anything away. to go along with that, we have a Mexican street corn pasta salad.
Yes. So this one is 10 ounces of frozen corn defrosted, 8 ounce rotini pasta cooked, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, 1/2 cup of sour cream, 3 tablespoons of lime juice, 2 tablespoons of minced garlic, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of dried dill, salt and pepper to taste, 1 red bell pepper chopped, 1/4 cup of red onion diced, 1 small onion chopped, 2 tablespoons of jalapenos seeded and chopped, 1 cup of shredded Mexican cheese, 1/4 cup of Parmesan cheese shredded, and chopped cilantro divided and all in minced. I minced mine.
Okay.
So I got mine. I made mine really fine.
All right.
So cook the pasta for 7 to 10 minutes or until al dente. Drain and rinse with cold water until the pasta is cool. In a large bowl, add your mayonnaise, sour cream, lime juice, garlic, cloves, chili powder, dried dill, coarse salt, and pepper. So mix until fully combined. Add the corn, the pasta, the red bell pepper, the onions, the jalapeno, 1/4 cup of the Mexican cheese, your Parmesan cheese, and some of the cilantro. Mix until everything is incorporated. And then let that sit in the fridge for about an hour or so, or even overnight. Cilantro just...
Soak it all up.
Yeah, yep. Soaks it all up. Mm-hmm. And then enjoy.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it.
Pretty much it.
Pretty easy.
Good stuff. Yes. So great corn pasta salad is great with corn chips as well.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yes.
I mean, eat it just as a salad or
add corn chips or Fritos or anything like that would be good with it. Yes.
Yep. And then the recipe for the zucchini brownies.
Yes. So in this one, like I said, there are no eggs. There's no eggs and there's no milk or anything like that.
Okay.
This is one of those things that kind of could be
a
water cake because of the moisture in the water in the zucchini
is what
does it. So, mm-hmm. So 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 1 1/2 cups of granulated sugar, 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1/2 cup of unsweetened cocoa powder, 1 1/2 teaspoons of baking soda, 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, 3 cups of finely shredded zucchini. Do not drain it.
Again, because you want the moisture there. So
right.
Do
right.
not drain.
Do okay. not drain. 1 1/2 cups of semi-sweet chocolate chips. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Prepare your 9x13-inch pan with baking spray and line with some parchment paper. Allow parchment paper to go up the sides. I didn't even do that. I didn't do the parchment paper. I just greased my baking dish real well, and it was fine.
Okay.
So, but if you want to take it out so you can take it somewhere...
Without the dish.
Yes, yeah. Without the dish.
Then you can use parchment paper. Most definitely be the,
yeah. So okay. In a large bowl, combine your oil, sugar, vanilla until fully incorporated. Add flour, cocoa, baking soda, salt, mix until combined. Fold in your zucchini with a rubber spatula. Let the batter rest for about 5 minutes. That way that water gets incorporated. Mm-hmm. Add in your chocolate chips. Stir again. Batter should appear more wet. If it's not, doesn't seem that way, then let it sit for a little while longer. Then spread out your mixture into your pan. Bake for 25 to 35 minutes. Brownies are done when you have a toothpick inserted and removed with enjoy. Yeah. It's really good.
Really good. Really good stuff.
Yeah. I'm still munching on it downstairs.
And if your kids do not like zucchini, don't tell them because they will never know the difference. Yep. They will never know the difference. Mm-hmm. Again, you can check out all of those recipes at the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. And it's also linked up at goodmornings.net. My wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up Monday on the program, outgoing Economic Development Director Dan Schaefer joins us to discuss his new role as President CEO of the Findlay-Hancock County Alliance, which he will assume at the beginning of August. Also, as part of their year-long 50th anniversary celebration, we'll have details on the Children's Mentoring Connection's upcoming summer picnic. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out, make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.